Swaggy Thread Star, an Australian clothing label offering comfy unisex t-shirts embroidered with designs you want to swagger down the street in. Be a star and head over to their Etsy and shop their range of t-shirts. Listeners of this podcast can use the discount code 6 weeks, valid until the 21st of December 2022, to reduce their purchase price and help me keep 6 weeks from broke. If you're an artist who wants to reimagine your work in thread, reach out to them and discuss collaboration options. Swaggy Thread Star, because everybody loves a new t-shirt and that looks great. Follow their Instagram and Facebook at swaggy.threads.star and follow the links there to start shopping today. Hey team, welcome back to the podcast. 6 weeks from being broke. I'm sitting around that. I think I'm doing okay. I've had an absolutely ripping week. I did something pretty cool this week. I went up to New South Wales in Australia. I went to a place called Newcastle. It was the first time I did the comedy club up there. And I had two shows booked in up there. And I did a little experiment along the way. So Newcastle is about 1,000 kilometers from Melbourne. So I did a 2,000 kilometer round trip to get to Newcastle and back. Now, I went up there and in the comedy club, when I sort of applied and told them I wanted to gig there, they were like, we don't know who you really are. We think we can squeeze you in for 10 minutes each show. And I'm like, okay, cool. Completely happy with that. In my little head, I've gone, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to fucking give them the best 10 minutes I've got every night. I'm going to fucking try and just really smash the joint up, right? So they're like, hey, you can have $10 a night for a collective $240 for the weekend, okay? Now, you're probably sitting at home thinking, that's fuck all, and you'd be correct. So why did I go? Because if I can go up there and I can have a really good set, then I can open up eventually sort of those MC spots, feature spots, and a couple of years down the line, headline spots. And then I can also make the connections and the networks that I need to be able to put on my own solo shows there. And I think it's a really good return of investment in sort of 18 months down the line. And I ended up going there and I got bumped up into a sort of a feature spot while I was there. And then one of my favorite Australian comedians, Jacques Barrett, also gave me the little point finger and said, hey, you, what are you doing? Come open my show. So it ended up being really successful. And I got a whole bunch of other work. And when I was leaving, they were like, hey, just let us know anytime you're coming back. You can have some gigs. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I think it's worked out. But I did a little experiment, right, in the spirit of this podcast. I earned $240 for the weekend. So I thought, can I do a 2,000-kilometer round trip and only spend $240 getting there? So a couple of months ago when I cooked up this idea, I went on to Jetstar, I looked at the flights, and there was a $70 return flight home. I said, boom, book that in, nail that. The flight up there, I think the cheapest one was like $130, $140, which was going to blow out the budget. And I was like, oh, not going to do that. So what I did is I looked up other forms of transport. Driving was out of the question because I don't think you can get 2,000 kilometers on that much fuel. So I went on the internet, I found a train, an overnight train that leaves from Melbourne. It left from Melbourne at 7:50 at night, and then it got into Sydney at 8:30 in the morning, jump on another train, and then it goes to Newcastle. It was a 15-hour fucking trip, and I tell you what, I do not recommend it. Yeah, I mean, I got it. It was really shit. The seat like reclined back a little bit. It was full. People were packed. It was packed. And some old guy sat next to me and he started at his birth and just went until like his age of 75, told me his whole life story, just banged on about Goulburn for ages. Like it was rough and it was uncomfortable. I don't recommend that at all. But I went on the internet and I found train tickets, and I think originally they were about $92. Still not probably going to do. So I went into the website and I looked up concessions. What comes across as a concession? And I keep looking down the list and I find a couple of things that I think I can do. So I send them an email and I introduce myself and I just kind of like stretch the truth a little bit, and they send me back this thing and they're like, yep, no worries. $61 trip. Boom. $61. I got $130 in the bank at the moment. That leaves me what? Quick math, everyone. 730 240, $110 left. I'm going there and back, which is sick. I've got accommodation with a friend of mine, so that doesn't cost me anything. But usually I stay in hostels, which are about $30 a night. So in the spirit of this test, I'm going to add $60 on. That leaves me $70 left. So I get to Newcastle and I'm getting around with trams and buses and all that sort of stuff. I'm essentially fare evading the whole time. That's how I keep those costs down. Just keeping an eye out for those dweebs in cargo shorts. And I just fucking get the hell out of there. Walk heaps. I did 28,000 steps on the first day I was there because I was just going to walk around a lot, which I think is equivalent to about 14Ks. Just my calves are killing me. And then I found in my bag, I just brought a backpack with me, I found $100 in an envelope from a gig I did a couple of weeks ago that I completely forgot about. And I was like, sweet, how good's this? And I put that aside and I was like, nah, stuff it. If I'm going to have a couple of beers afterwards, it's coming from the money I found. And then food, I just kept it under $20 a day. Just ate real. I bought some, went to like a Chemist Warehouse and just bought heaps of protein bars. And then I just had that one meal a day. And did I make it? I pretty much made it until the last day. And then I had to go to the airport, which is miles away from Newcastle. And the buses were kind of like broken or whatever. So I had to get an Uber, which cost me $60. So I blew out my budget. I didn't make it. But with the extra work I did, it ended up being slightly profitable. But as I said, I reckon I can cash that in next year. I reckon I can make that investment back. Also had another cool development this week. I had had someone reach out onto my Instagram. You would have heard their ad just play before the episode. And they sent me a message. They said, hey, we listen to your podcast. We run a t-shirt company. Send me your size and your address and we'll send you a t-shirt. And I was like, fuck, man, that's so cool. And I got chatting to them. I was like, hey, how do you follow me? And they're like, we're a veteran-owned business. We've been following you for a while now. We've been seeing what you're doing. We've been listening to your podcast. Just want to let you know we love what you're doing. And that's cool. Like, I don't want to do big advertisements for evil corporate brands and stuff. But in my life, like, man, if I can ever connect with people like this, this is what I want to do. It was so awesome. So I chatted to them and I said, hey, would you be interested in sponsoring the episode? And they are right now. And it's just these guys, the name's Swaggy Thread Star. This isn't like another plug. I'm just telling you how cool I felt when they reached out. I've got a t-shirt with a magpie on it coming in the mail and I can't wait. It's really fucking cool. And it gave me such a big smile that people were out there and just wanted to support what I was doing. It was awesome. The guest I've got for you today is a comedian from America. His name's Joel Byers. He runs a podcast called Hot Breath. Now, Hot Breath is a comedy podcast. It's my favorite comedy podcast. I've been listening to it for years. I credit becoming professional with the things that I've learned off this comedy podcast. And I was sitting in bed and I was like, oh man, I really want to get Joel Byers. How cool would it be if I could get Joel Byers on this podcast? And then my partner said, why don't you just message him? Just reach out to him on Instagram, just slide into his DMs, right? So I did. And I said, hey, you don't know me. This is what I'm doing. Would you like to get on my podcast? And man, he said yes. And it was just a really surreal moment to talk to somebody who's been in my ears since I started doing comedy. And what an honor to have Joel Byers on my podcast from the Hot Breath.
Australia, I would love to get out there.
Our comedy scene is, the Australian comedy scene's big and it's very well celebrated in this country, which is great. One thing I wanted to talk to you about is we don't essentially have, explain to me what it means to be a road comedian and working on the road. Because we don't, Australia is the same size as the United States, but there's only 20 million people. So we can't really drive around it too much because most of it's a desert.
Well, I'll try to explain it the least depressing way possible. I mean, honestly, like the reality of being a road comedian sometimes is you're driving 12 hours for $50. You're staying in a comedy condo with another comedian, which could go either way, you know, as comedians go. That could be good or bad. I fortunately had positive experiences in that. But, I mean, really, the reality is it's like you're living on the road, essentially. Like you may be home during the week, but you're basically gone every weekend, maybe Thursday to Sunday. I mean, I did a week of shows at a comedy club recently where I was there like Monday to Monday. So I was there an entire week doing shows every night. But the grind is really like you're just living on the road, making a living, and there's no real stability. Some shows pay more than others, but the name of the game in comedy is you get out there, you pay your dues at different levels. You know, you start at the open mics, you start at the bottom there, you start at the end of a list of 20 comics, then you're up on stage at 1 a.m. on a weeknight before you have to be up for work the next morning. That's kind of paying your dues. Then you start getting hosting work, or you start hosting your own shows. I know you produce your own shows as well, which is a big part of the hustle that I recommend every comic taps into. And then as you work your way up, even on the road, you start out getting the lesser paying gigs that may not have the best accommodations. But the more you do that, the more you spread your name. All the work I've gotten essentially has come from other comedians at the end of the day. Like, yes, you can get an agent and a manager and things like that. But out of all the comics I've interviewed, everyone has said most of your work will come from other comedians. And that's a big part of the road, is getting that referral, doing well at the job you were referred for, and then that job referring you to another job, and you just kind of build it over time. And in a few years, you actually have a network and a whole like run of shows you can start to piece together as a road comic. And it all starts really with just kind of one gig at a time. And that could be a gig, you know, an hour away or 3 hours away. And you kind of just start to build it out from there. But it's all at every level in this game, you're paying your dues in some way or another.
How important is it to collect followers along the way on the road? Because when we travel in Australia, we go from state to state. You know, we only have, we've got 7 states. But and then we want to collect the followers there because we have a festival scene, which means we go around and we do comedy festivals in each place. So if you perform in a place, you want to be able to bring them into your sort of circle of influence. Is that the same thing in the States?
Yeah, for sure. And everyone and their agent is trying to go viral online doing like a grainy crowd work clip right now. You know, everyone, some of these kids have 4 minutes of material and they're trying to go viral with a crowd work clip at a coffee shop. But
it's beautiful to see that the scenes are so close, and comedy world globally is exactly the same.
It's happening everywhere. And that's the best part about the internet, I guess, is it has kind of, we can all see what each other is doing and we're all kind of learning from each other along the way. And it's more accessible than ever, but building that following it's the key. Like, I just interviewed a comedy club owner who's been in the game over 30 years. And I basically asked him, like, here in America, I don't know how it is in Australia, but like the comedy pay and like the clubs has been the same since like the 80s. Like, nothing's gone up. And I asked him about it. He's like, well, at the end of the day, there's always going to be comedians that will do it for free, or that
the
will
comedian
do it
and commerce guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Great episode. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, he's brutally honest about the business side. And basically, like, until you have the following, until you have the leverage to demand more pay to where you're actually bringing people into the show, he's like, there's always going to be comics that'll do it for less money. Because the follower is where you get the leverage and where you really start to make a bigger living in comedy. And that's something that I'm in the game 12 years. That's something I'm constantly working on. I think at every level, we're all trying to build that following.
Explain to me, I talk about the spirituality. I found comedy and it's really what I wanted to do in life, and it helped me out so much, you know, post my sort of military service here in Australia. Tell me about the emotional toll that getting on the road night after night for little money and all of these weird conditions. Like, is it something that you need to break out of? Is it sustainable? Talk me through that.
And I love you're asking this, because in your previous episode, I just listened to your most recent episode, you open it up talking about, I'm doing all these shows, like you're producing all these shows. You kind of just like brain dump all these things you're struggling with. And I really appreciate that vulnerability, because I feel that as well. I think all comics go through that at different stages, and that imposter syndrome and things like that. So part of where I'm at right now, as I'm getting back on the road and I'm starting to get back out into that life, because pre-pandemic, I was just about to like be a full-time road comic. Like, I'd been working towards it here and there, but I actually just built that network. Like I was talking about, I paid my dues for a few years and I was about to be a touring headliner. So I kind of worked my way up to that. And now I'm getting back into that. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I'm about this life as much about like, you know, being home, being away from home for like, you know, an entire week, you know, being away from my family, my wife and dog, you know, it's very valuable family, but it is very valuable. And as I've been thinking about that of like, is the road the way? I think it's very valuable in your development. And I think it's very crucial, but I am starting to think of like, well, what are other ways I can make a living with the skill set of stand-up beyond just going out grinding on the road? You know, this past weekend, I was emceeing an awards ceremony at a college. So I'm looking for different ways to start using this skill set of public speaking beyond let me go out on the road, let me hate myself, let me eat this terrible comedy club food. You know, that's part of the grind, and comics can make a living doing that. But for me personally, I am now starting to look at more creative ways to build a bunch of different revenue streams. You know, I have the podcast, and I'm also starting my own YouTube channel as well, where I'm creating original content. And that's more like comedy storytelling, where I'm telling the stories of some of my favorite comedians and their process, and really trying to build a YouTube channel, because I think the pandemic taught us all that you can't have all your eggs in one basket. Because if you're all in and you're like, I'm a road comic, this is what I'm doing. Yo, overnight, we were all unemployed. My calendar was booked in 2020. Overnight, I'm unemployed. So we can be very vulnerable. So I think that's just one of the many things we can do as comedians. And I encourage everyone to think of what are other things I can do with the skill set that I have, whether it's as a public speaker or as a creative writer.
Yeah, correct. I'm a professional comedian, but I'm not a professional stand-up comedian. I earn like 40% to 60% of my income doing stand-up comedy, but I'm, you know, I'm TV writing, I'm writing for people. I hosted an events, like an awards ceremony a couple of weeks ago that paid me three times as much as I'd earn in a week or for the one dude. Day. And you gotta do those things and diversify your income.
Literally, like you saying that, it's so funny, the parallels. Like it's like we're in the same scene and we're like across the world from each other. That's so cool. But it literally, like the MC gig I did this past weekend paid three times what I made at the comedy club for an entire week. I was at this club for an entire week and I made three times more doing one MC gig hosting this awards ceremony. And they put me up in like a nice hotel, and that just got me thinking. And I got to like take my wife, and we made a whole weekend trip of it.
And the food
really
better.
Got me thinking. Yeah, how can we do more things? So it's cool to hear you're doing the same.
What your podcast? I believe this is your words. You're trying to help the next generation of self-made comedians. That's the key. I'm a firm believer that everything in this industry is evolving and we're going to be in control of our business. Well, we can right now, but everyone wants to, that's the future, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What drove you to start a podcast that's essentially helping other people that could be your competition/ your colleagues? What in you made you want to help these people?
It started, you know, I've been doing it 6 years now. So the early start of it was really just creating the show I wish existed, which as an up and coming comedian, my favorite moments of like comedy podcasts was where they did nerd out about how they wrote jokes or how they book gigs or what is the difference between a manager and an agent and things like that. But those were only like moments within these bigger podcasts. So I was like, well, I'll just create a podcast that's just all of that. So it really started with that intention of mind of what do I wish existed? And that's still kind of the test I put all my interviews and all the content I share around the podcast is, all right, what do I wish existed or now? Or if I was a younger comic, what questions would I have? Or if someone sends me a message with a question, I've turned that into like a podcast or turned that into video. You know, I do two live streams a week on the YouTube channel where on Tuesdays we do like a live joke feedback hour where comics will log on with us and they'll post their jokes and we'll give feedback. And then on Wednesdays I do like a write 10 club where I have a random word and I write a joke live on the air with everyone, and then they'll post theirs in the live stream and I'll give feedback on it. But it all kind of comes down to like, what do I wish existed and how can I at least try to make it easier? Or a lot of the struggle I had early on was just access to information. So I wanted to at least take away that one thing, because comedy's hard enough. So if at least you have access to the information, then you actually have to go and put it into action at the end of the day. You know, I mean, the number one piece of advice out of over 400 interviews with professional comedians has been get on stage. You have to get on stage. You can take classes to help with the learning curve of how to write a joke and whatnot. You can listen to podcasts all day, but you have to take it to the stage. That is literally where you will learn everything you need, is on that stage a lot.
What is it like being the guy that runs the comedy podcast that helps everyone whilst also doing comedy and being, I guess, surrounded by the people who listen to it?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's accountability for me. I mean, at the end of the day, like the Write 10 Club that I do once a week now, during the pandemic, I did it live for over 400 days in a row. And it was just a way. And then it ended, like I had a mental breakdown. I cried. I was like, I gotta go. I did it literally every day for over 400 days. But that was just like accountability. I was like, all right, I'm in a pandemic. I need to make sure I'm still writing during this time. So I just started this random live stream just to hold myself accountable. And then it grew into this whole online community of other comedy writers. So it does at some point, I'm now starting to get booked by people that listen to the podcast. So there is, there's some pressure of like, at the end of the day, like I've never wanted to be one of these like people that teaches comedy but doesn't do it. Like there's several people out there who teach comedy, but they're not actually on stage. They're not actually out there grinding it. And I always want to make sure that's first. At first things first, I am a stand-up comedian, like 100%. And I never wanted to lose sight of that. So as I'm sharing this education, especially early on, I was very self-conscious of like, well, I don't want to say something and then they see me and I don't do that thing or I don't do that well. But fortunately, I've been getting booked by people that listen to the podcast and all the shows have gone great. But there is that added pressure of like, oh gosh, they're booking me out here. If I don't do well, I'm going to be one of those people who's like, I mean, they're good at teaching, but they're not good at doing. And I'm comedian first, always.
Before I let you go, I got you on this podcast by sliding into your DMs. I was lying in bed with my partner. I said, oh, geez, I'd love to have Joel Byers on the podcast. It'd be awesome to have someone like him. And she said, why don't you message him? I said, oh, yeah, there's the internet. So I did. And then you got back. What, obviously, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yep.
So is that, in your experience of doing over 400 interviews on your podcast, is there people that you've just thrown it into the wind and they've come back?
Dude, 100%. You just never know. Mark Norman started, you know, I've had him on the show 3 or 4 times now, but that started with a DM on Twitter several years ago. He's a fun one though, because I got him early. So I've been able to like track his career with him. Andrew Schultz, I tweeted at him and while he was in Atlanta, like kind of the system was I would look at who's in the area, who's coming into the area. And then I'd reach out to them on social media. But every person's different. Some people I've gotten from an Instagram DM, some from a tweet, some I've emailed them through their website. Others I've reached out to their management or whatnot to book it or their publicist. Others I've gotten referraled, like Cedric the Entertainer. I was friends with one of his friends who then made that connection. So each one has kind of been different. Jeff Foxworthy took 4 years to eventually get onto the show. I mean, Bert Kreischer is someone during the pandemic. We did like a whole Bert Kreischer campaign to get him on the show and he said he would do it. And then it's still one of these things that it just hasn't happened yet. But just to have the screenshot of the tweet of him saying, let's do it, is motivation that I know it will happen. But it's you never know till you ask. So yeah, if there's a comic that you're like, oh, I'd love to get them on the show, dude, reach out and ask, because what I've learned is comics love helping comics.
Yes.
And like how you reached out to me with that sentiment in mind, you know, it was a no-brainer. So, and I think other comics will be the same.
Quickly, before you go, tell everyone how they can get in touch. If you are a comedian and you haven't heard Hot Breath, please jump on. It'll change your life. So plug away.
Yeah, Hot Breath is available on all podcast platforms. Wherever you listen, it's available there. And like I mentioned, I do 2 live streams a week on our YouTube channel. I also have interviews and other clips up there as well. That's Hot Breath on YouTube. And my personal YouTube channel, if you just search Joel Byers, you'll find it. And I'm doing more long form, kind of like video essay styles about some of my favorite comedians. So that's more of a storytelling and educational aspect that I'm really branching out into.
Joel Byers, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Do you enjoy art, artists, or comedy in general? Consider supporting this show at www.patreon.com/Jarrod Gowndry, or just Google Jarrod Gowndry Patreon, it'll come up, right? For just $2, you can get bonus episodes and content, and together we can work towards helping me get 7 weeks from broke. Send us a message on my Instagram at Jarrod Gowndry. See you there.